Thanks for tuning in to Mountain View Fellowship's weekly podcast with lead pastor Don Headley. At MVF, our mandate is pointing people to Jesus by fostering relationships. We know Jesus cared for people and placed a lot of emphasis on relationships, so we do too. We believe that we're created for relationship with God and that He gave each one of us a desire to belong. If you'd like more information about MVF, connect with us at mvfcolorado.com. Now, stay tuned for this week's message.
Today is the last Sunday in our Christmas series, which I'm really sad about. So I want to start off with a really cheery stat. Okay, you ready for this? I just read a survey here recently that showed that 65% of all American Christians believe that there's more than one way to get into heaven. And 80% of those 65 could actually name one of the non-Christian groups that they think is actually going to go get in. And that doesn't really surprise me, to be honest with you. The reason for that is because we're a loving bunch. I mean, we love Jesus. We want everyone to go to heaven, and that's a good thing. But I think more than anything, what this survey proves is that American churchgoers are some really, really nice people that really aren't paying attention to the details of their theology, especially the details that talk about who gets into heaven and who doesn't. And the reason for that, I think, is because it's a very difficult topic. It's hard for us to think about, you know, hell and heaven and that some people are going to get in and some people are going to end up in hell. And we don't like that at all. And you're going, great, this is the way you're going to start off your Christmas message. And I'm going, yes, it is. And I'll tell you why here in a minute, because this is why Christmas happened. This is why we should be celebrating, because we don't want anyone to go to hell. It's an unbearable thought to think that somebody we love could end up there, especially when we read through Scripture and we see all of the images that Scripture uses to describe hell. It's things like darkness and weeping and torment and unending fire, and we don't like that at all. And regardless of what you think about hell, we know that from Scripture, hell is a place where we are completely and eternally separated from God, and we don't want that for anyone. But for those of us that are Christians and we've jumped into the Scriptures and we begin to read, we understand that there is only one way to get into heaven. There's only one way to be saved, for a couple of reasons. First of all, because Jesus Himself said it. John chapter 14, 6, He said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through Me." Another reason why we know that there's only one way is because of Christmas. Because why else would God step out of heaven and put on flesh, be born in a manger, come to this earth to give His life? If there was any other way, why would He go through all of that? See, Jesus became the embodiment of the grace of God in this moment, in this season that we celebrate every year. It's this idea that we are celebrating, not just Christmas, but we're celebrating God's grace. The story of Christmas really is built upon the doctrine of grace. It's incredible when you think about it, what God did for us, the fact that He would come for us. This is amazing grace. It's confounding grace. It's scandalous grace. It's counterintuitive grace. Hang on that last one with me just for a minute. Counterintuitive actually means to go against things that you would normally expect to be true. It's like if you told somebody you have to go north before you can go south, or you have to work really hard to have fun. So for a long time, I've always felt that grace was the hardest doctrine to accept. We fight against it because it runs against the grain of everything that we instinctively believe. See, God's grace forces us to actually face a couple of very difficult truths. First one is there's nothing we can do to contribute to our own salvation. Like, the reason for Christmas, get this, is because you couldn't save yourself. I couldn't save myself. There was nothing I could do to make myself right with God. That's why Jesus came. And then, of course, if God doesn't save us, we'll never be saved. Like, without Christmas, we're lost for eternity. Grace says you are hopeless. You're a mess, and so much so that God had to intervene, that He had to come. And without God, we are nothing. And we would rather admit anything to admit those two things to be true, that we're helpless and that we have to have God, like we need God. which is why finally we will never accept the notion of grace unless God actually opens our eyes to the truth of who we are and who He is and what He's done for us. That's what Christmas is about. That's why we should celebrate it every year, because it reminds us that without Christmas, without God coming for us, we would still be in the same mess. We would be hopeless and we would be lost. Here's a paradox for you. Ready for this? We need grace in order to receive grace. We need God to reveal Himself and to reveal the truth about us so that we might receive grace. Tim Keller wrote a book several years ago. It's called Come Thou Long Expected Jesus. And what he did is it was just a compilation of a whole bunch of Christmas writings. And one of the things that he wrote in it was this, and I absolutely love this. It says, Christmas is the end of thinking you are better than someone else. Because Christmas is telling you that you could never get to heaven on your own. God had to come to you. It is telling you that people who are saved are not those who have arisen through their own ability to be what God wants them to be. Salvation comes to those who admit how weak they are. Those of us who actually believe in Jesus, we call ourselves disciples of Jesus, we've received Jesus as Lord and Savior of our life, we're no better than anybody else. And sometimes we're actually worse, right? But the reality is we're no better than anybody else. The reason God came to us is because we were all a mess. Every one of us. And He had to come to us because we couldn't go to Him. 2020 has been a very difficult year. And I know some of you are barely hanging on by a thread. Some of you have lost jobs. Some of you are worried about your job and what might happen after the first of the year. And I've heard you talking about Christmas. And so many here at Mountain View have talked about, hey, Christmas this year is going to be different. It's going to be a lot less materialistic. Like we're focusing more on family time. It's more family oriented this year. And I think that's a good thing. But I think the reason for that is because we're thinking about the future. We're wondering about what tomorrow holds. Things have changed for us. This entire year is actually also added to a real decline in faith in the institutions in our life as well. Things like government and politicians and elections and Department of Education. And I mean, you could just go on. It's changed a lot of how we see our life and how we see the world. And that doesn't surprise me as much as the anger that's arisen from this. The frustration and anger are at an all-time high. It's amazing to me that just the frustration and anger that we're seeing in the world around us. We've created this culture that's like every man for himself. Every man for himself. Where have I heard that before? Oh, yeah, the last few verses in the book of Judges, in one of the darkest periods of history for the nation of Israel. I'm not saying we're that bad yet, but I'm saying we can relate to a little bit of that, because many of us, we want to say things like, God helps those who help themselves, right? When we know from Scripture that that's completely wrong, like actually the opposite of that is right. If Christmas has taught us anything, it's the fact that God helps those who admit that they can't help themselves. That's why He came. Get this, we are so helpless, we are such a mess, that God sent His Son who came as a baby, to save us. A baby came into the picture to straighten up the mess that we've made because we couldn't help ourselves. Merry Christmas. Right? If that didn't put a smile on your face, I hope it does, because that's the story of Christmas. We were such a mess that God had to come to us. That's why it's a celebration. That's why this season should be celebrated. We shouldn't get depressed over that. We should say, thank God. Thank you, Jesus, for coming, for stepping out of heaven and putting on flesh and becoming God in flesh and then giving your life so that we can be made right with God. That's the story of Christmas, and I don't want us to forget that. So often we get tied up in the lights and the manger, and we forget the reason why Jesus came in the first place. A few weeks ago, we talked about a guy by the name of Zechariah. He's a priest, and if you've noticed, this entire series has really kind of come out of Luke chapter 1. We've been having a lot of fun with this. It's the chapter before the traditional Christmas story is told, but we learned of a story by the name, a guy by the name of Zechariah. He's in the temple. He's married to a woman by the name of Elizabeth, and they're pretty old, and they can't have any kids. They haven't had any kids, and that's one of the issues, and he's in the temple doing his priestly duties, and an angel appears to him. If you were here a couple of weeks ago, you heard the story. And it's because of his unbelief, because the angel says, you're going to have a baby. And he's like, yeah, right. Because of his unbelief, the angel says, you're not going to be able to speak until this baby's born. And that's exactly what happens. He's mute. And then after the baby's born, he says his name's going to be John. He says that. And then not only does he start speaking, but he begins to prophesy. And I hope that some of you were so intrigued by what we've been talking about the last couple of weeks that you went ahead and read the whole chapter of Luke chapter 1. Because if you did, you know that prophecy that Zechariah utters is actually recorded in Scripture. The last part of Luke chapter 1 is actually his prophecy. And what I want us to do is I want us to dwell on the last two verses of his prophecy this morning. You're going to hear this read several times this morning. And my prayer is if you don't memorize it, that when you leave here, the truth of this is actually planted so deep in your heart this Christmas that it changes your Christmas. Luke chapter 1, 78 and 79 says this, because of God's tender mercy, not because you were so awesome, not because you were such a good person, but because of God's tender mercy, the morning light from heaven is about to break upon us to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death and to guide us to the path of peace. This is Zechariah's prophecy of the coming Messiah, of Jesus himself. Jesus hasn't been born yet. He's prophesying, look, this is what's about to happen. And I love the title that he gives Christ here. He says, the morning light from heaven. What a great title for Christ coming into a very, very dark place. And it says the morning light of heaven is about to break upon us. I love to hunt. I love to get up in the mountains of Colorado. And you know, if you hunt at all, or maybe you camp and you've had this experience, but you get your gear and you head out of the tent early, early in the morning before the sun comes up, and you get to your spot that you want to like start off the day with, and maybe it overlooks a saddle or maybe a meadow, and you hunker down, and then you wait for the sun to come up. And in that hour or 2 hours before the sun comes up, it is so dark. You can't even see your hand in front of your face. It's amazing. And it's amazing how long it seems to last, too, because you're watching for the sun. And then pretty soon, the sun will finally peek over the edge of the earth. And when it does, these shafts of light start to shoot out across the sky. And it's like in a matter of seconds, it lights everything up. You go from total darkness to being able to see everything in front of you. You go from being cold to all of a sudden starting to feel the warmth of the sun. Can I just say that the coming of Christ is like that? He is the morning light who brings light into the darkness. I love this passage. And actually, if you look at some other translations, it says it this way. The day spring from on high has visited us. The rising sun will come to us from heaven. God's sunrise will break in upon us. A new day from heaven will dawn upon us. But I just love the way the NLT says it. The morning light from heaven is about to break upon us. This morning, as we look at this idea of Christmas, I want to ask the question, what does Christmas mean to us? What does it mean to you? Have you thought about this? Are you just so distracted by the lights and making sure that the gifts get wrapped that you haven't stopped to think about what does Christmas really mean? What does the coming of Jesus mean to us? This is why we stop every year and celebrate this. But so often we don't stop long enough to think about it. I want us to think this morning, what does Christmas mean to us? And I would say based upon those two verses that we just read out of Zechariah's prophecy about the coming Messiah, I want to pull out three things. The first one is this, that Jesus is light to those who are in darkness. He's light to those who are in darkness. And you might be thinking, well, what do you mean by darkness? Well, if you've ever had a bad report from the doctor, you know what darkness is. If you've ever stayed up all night with a sick kid, not sure what's going to happen, you've experienced darkness. If you've ever waited for a loved one to break the bondage of addiction, you know what darkness is. If you've ever stayed awake worrying about your future, if you've ever had your heart ripped out, you know what darkness is. You know how long the night is. You know how long the darkness can last sometimes. Because of God's tender mercy, the morning light from heaven is about to break upon us to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death and to guide us to the path of peace. Those last few minutes before the sun comes up, when you're sitting in total darkness, they seem to last forever. But when the light finally shines, everything changes. You can see things clearly. When the light finally shines, your problems don't look as big anymore. They look completely different. When the light finally shines, you have the courage to keep going on, to press forward. See, Jesus is our light. He has come into the world and has changed everything from that moment on. From that very first Christmas morning, this world will never be the same. You will never be the same when you receive Jesus Christ as your light, because he is the light in your darkness. Number two, Jesus is the pardon to those condemned to die. He's the pardon. He rescues us. See, the reason Jesus came is because we were such a mess. We were in sin, and that sin, the punishment for that would be eternal death. And Jesus came and he took our sin and he died our death so that we might have life. There's no better reason to celebrate this Christmas. There are so many dark areas in our lives, but none darker than our sin. It's that area that we try to hide from everybody, that we hope nobody sees, that we don't want anyone to know about. Let me just say, hey, the morning light is about to break upon us. Jesus already knows about your sin. We have those dark places and we try to hide them all the time. Because of God's tender mercy, the morning light from heaven is about to break upon us to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death. The shadow of death. That was our punishment, but Jesus took that for us. But here's what's great. When Jesus shines his light, he doesn't just bring condemnation. Now, there is condemnation because that's what we deserve. But the great thing about it is when Jesus came, he changed it. When his light shines into our dark areas, on our sin, it's not just condemnation. He actually says, look, come to me, believe in me, trust in me. And when we do that, our sin is forgiven forever. There's a guy here at MVF that I've been walking with for the last several years, and he had an addiction that cost him everything. Lost his business, lost his family, and a turning moment came for him after years and years of this addiction when, as his family's walking out the door, one of his kids said something to him. And he decided, he's done. It's time to change. And for the last several years, we've been working on getting that put together. First thing, obviously, got to get his life right with Christ. He's got to receive Christ. He's got to let that morning light break upon him to shine into those dark areas. And that's exactly what he started doing. Now, over the last several years, I can tell you, if you talk to him today, he'll tell you, it's not perfect. He hasn't put it all back together yet. He's still working on all that, but he is in a much better place today. He just really appreciates the fact that the people that are around him loved him enough not to let him stay where he was at. He also will tell you this. He'll say that it's Jesus that changed his life. And without Jesus, he would still be in his addiction, and he would still be destroying the relationships in his life. And I think that's what Tim Keller was driving at when he said, Christmas means the end of thinking that you're better than someone else. You're not better than anybody else. I'm not better than anybody else. We're not better than anybody else. We're all in the same boat, and without the grace of God, we're all going down together. But thank God for Christmas, that he came to rescue us, to redeem us. And I think a big step forward for us spiritually is when we're able to say, look, I'm a sinner. I'm messed up. I can't do this on my own, and I need Jesus. And that's when we can really get to experience Christmas for what it was. To really celebrate it for what it is. As long as we pretend, as long as we blame others for our problems, as long as we make excuses for our bad behavior, we're still living in darkness. We're still living in that sin and in that denial. We need to get to a place where we can admit that we're lost and we are nothing without Jesus. If you go to the Holy Land and you go to Bethlehem and the place where they believe that Mary gave birth to Jesus, you're going to see a massive cathedral. They built a big church on top of that location. And for centuries, you would have to go across this courtyard, and through that door at the other end is where the spot is actually marked out. And this door used to be really big. And what happened is years and years ago, kings and these big shots would show up and they'd be riding their horses and they would just ride them right on into the cathedral, take a look at where Jesus was born. And you can see the old door frame here. And what the priest did is they thought that was so disrespectful that they changed the door frame. They went in, they stoned it up, and they made it very small now. So what you have to do, and it's so small, in fact, that you have to duck to get in there. Can I just say this? Salvation is the same way. You have to get off your high horse and you have to bow before Jesus. You have to accept him as your light and as your pardon, to admit that we're messed up, that we don't have it all together. He's your light. He's your pardon. Thirdly, guidance for those who've lost their way. Jesus is our guide. So often when we think about guidance, we think about like these big life issues that we run into. You know, who should I marry, or what job should I have? Should I be in the ministry? Should I go to college? We think about those things, but I think it's even bigger than that. Because of God's tender mercy, the morning light from heaven is about to break upon us to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, and to guide us to the path of peace. So I think it's much bigger and smaller than just what kind of job that we hold. See, he guides us through the darkest moments of our lives, taking us by the hand and giving us the strength to be able to face the most difficult circumstances that we'll ever face in life. And not only that, but in that moment, when we think everything is spiraling out of control, he actually will give us peace, and he will give us joy. When we would otherwise just sit right down and build a condo in the valley of despair, he says, no, we're going to keep moving. And not only am I going to walk with you and I'll never leave you, but I'm going to bring my peace and my joy into your life. He guides us to a path of peace. And that peace that we're talking about there is the famed peace that surpasses all understanding, which means as a believer, you have something the world doesn't have. You have something that you can't buy, you can't duplicate, and no one can ever take away from you, because it's given to you directly by Jesus himself. Jesus guides us to a path of peace. So what does Christmas mean to you? Is he a light? Is he a pardon? Is he your guide? See, I think this is the difference between living our lives with Jesus and living our lives without Jesus. When Jesus comes into our life, the shadows flee. When he comes into our lives, the guilt of sin is removed and we are set free. When he comes into our life, despair disappears because we set our feet on a path to peace. If you are in a dark place today, if you're struggling this Christmas season, if this has been a rough year for you and you're just not feeling the joy of Christmas, I want to read this. I pray that you hear it for the very first time, hear it with new ears, see it with new eyes. This was a prophecy about the coming Messiah, about your Messiah. Because of God's tender mercy, the morning light from heaven is about to break upon us to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, and to guide us to the path of peace. My question is, has his light shined into your dark heart? Has he shined his light in your life? Or are you still sitting in darkness? See, I don't think there's any question more important than that one this morning. You got to answer that for yourself. Are you sitting in a place where you're experiencing God's joy and his peace? Or are you still sitting in darkness? Christmas is only a few days away, and it strikes me that we have this great opportunity to set our hearts right with God, this God who loved us so much that he came for us. Christmas is not about the snow, and it's not about the candy canes and about the stockings hung with care by the chimney. That's not what it's about. Christmas is about this truth that we were completely lost, utterly helpless, but yet we had a God, a creator who loved us so much that he came for us. The morning light from heaven is about to break upon us. My prayer is that we would experience that this Christmas. Can I pray for that? Would you join me in that? Heavenly Father, as we read these last couple of verses of Zechariah's prophecy from 2,000 years ago, Lord, we can't help but tie it to our lives here today. The fact that many sitting here are struggling, whether it's jobs or family issues or just life in general, and Lord, we're having trouble finding you in the season, I pray that your love would cut through, that this morning light from heaven would break upon us, that we would experience your presence and your peace and joy like never before this Christmas season. God, I pray that as we open your word, as we sing, as we greet one another, as we watch our kids open gifts this Christmas season, as we spend time with family, that we would see you in all of those things. Lord, it's because of you that we have joy, that we can celebrate, that we don't have to fear tomorrow and we don't have to fear eternity. God, may we dwell in that this Christmas season. May we celebrate like never before. I just pray that this truth continues to mold and shape us into the people that you've called us to be. We pray all this in the blessed name of Jesus Christ, and all God's people said.